This is an iHeart podcast.
The Medal of Honor is the highest military decoration in the United States. Recipients have done the improbable, the unexpected, showing immense bravery and sacrifice in the name of something much bigger than themselves.
This medal is for the man who went down that day.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, you'll hear about these heroes and what their stories tell us about the nature of bravery. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back. It's good to see you again. So what's on tap for tonight? Well, we're going to talk about these social media people coming around to our side. Chinese drones flying over the country. Tim Burchett is here to discuss that and so much more coming up on I'm Right. Forgiveness, repentance. Those are concepts that we're all familiar with, right? Some of us have a hard time saying, I'm sorry, but what is real repentance? You ever thought about that? Maybe you're a believer. Have you ever thought about what real repentance is? But real repentance, genuine repentance, it means honest contrition for the wrongs you've done, admitting the wrongs you've done, admitting you don't ever want to do those wrongs again, and seeking reconciliation. That is real repentance, you see. And that is the only way people are able to come back together again, truly. Real repentance is not, oh, sorry I had too many beers last night, but you're not really sorry. And then you go out tonight, and the next night, the night after that, and have some more beers. That's not real repentance. You were never really sorry. And so I bring this up because there's something I've been noticing. I'm sure you've been noticing it as well. All these people who have been our mortal enemies for years now, they're starting to sound like freedom fighters. They're starting to sound like they are on our side. And this is what I'm seeing a lot of from our side. I'm seeing a lot of, man, I'm so happy he's coming around. Mark Zuckerberg's actually a great example of this because this is all over the news right now. Mark Zuckerberg's in the news right now. Man, sounding pretty good saying things like this.
Here's what we're going to do. First, we're going to get rid of fact checkers and replace them with community notes similar to X, starting in the US. Second, we're going to simplify our content policies and get rid of a bunch of restrictions on topics like immigration and gender that are just out of touch with mainstream discourse. Third, we're changing how we enforce our policies to reduce the mistakes that account for the vast majority of censorship on our platforms. Fourth, we're bringing back civic content. For a while, the community asked to see less politics because it was making people stressed, so we stopped recommending these posts. But it feels like we're in a new era now. And we're starting to get feedback that people want to see this content again. Fifth, we're going to move our trust and safety and content moderation teams out of California, and our US-based content review is going to be based in Texas. As we work to promote free expression, I think that it will help us build trust to do this work in places where there is less concern about the bias of our teams. Finally, we're going to work with President Trump to push back on governments around the world that are going after American companies and pushing to censor more.
Wow. That sounds good, right? And he even threw in, there was so much there to like. He even, of course, had to finish it up. We're going to work with Trump. Whoa, make America great again. He said, we're leaving California. We're moving to Texas. Man, sounds red, white, and blue. He's clearly on our side, except, you know what I didn't hear? And believe me, I listened to that clip 5 or 6 times today just to make sure. I didn't hear, I'm sorry. I didn't hear, we've done wrong. In fact, let's just set that aside. Maybe you're saying, well, he can't say that. Okay, maybe, but I'll give you that. Did you hear even that much genuine contrition that Mark Zuckerberg and his communist friends have spent years doing everything they can do to silence free speech in this country, as long as the speech was from the right? You know, the content, this show's content, has been censored on Facebook because Mark Zuckerberg was taking in George Soros money to ensure you couldn't see it. In 2020, when Donald Trump was up for re-election, Mark Zuckerberg didn't sit on the sidelines. He wasn't just, you know, watching as things went by. Mark Zuckerberg spent $400 million. Not $400, not even $4 million. $400 million to ensure ballot boxes were placed in just the right spots in those swing areas. Mark Zuckerberg has done as much as anybody to censor speech in this country. And so what's happening now? Is he coming around? Well, I mean, it's like 5 minutes ago he was talking like this.
On leave, I spent a lot of time with our teams on the issue of Russian interference in the U.S. elections. And I made some decisions on the next steps that we're going to be taking, and I want to share those with you now. First, let me say this. I care deeply about the democratic process and protecting its integrity. Facebook's mission is all about giving people a voice and bringing people closer together. Those are democratic values, and we're proud of them. I don't want anyone to use our tools to undermine democracy. That's not what we stand for. Now, I wish I could tell you that we're going to be able to stop all interference, but that just wouldn't be realistic. There will always be bad actors in the world, and we can't prevent all governments from all interference. But we can make it harder. We can make it much harder. And that's what we're going to focus on doing.
Undermine democracy. Stop governments. So when you were questioning the vaccine or mask policies and you were censored on Facebook, that same guy was doing it. And again, I don't want to just single out Mark Zuckerberg. I could go on and on about him. He, of course, is responsible for the censoring of the Hunter Biden laptop story, the story the FBI worked with Facebook to censor to ensure Joe Biden could win the election. Let's just move on from that, because he's not near alone in all this. Tim Cook with Apple, Tim Cook, who has said things like this in the past.
Mother Nature, welcome to Apple. How is the weather getting in?
The weather was however I wanted it to be. Let's cut to the chase. In 2020, you promised to bring Apple's entire carbon footprint to zero by 2030. Electricity, status.
We're operating on 100% clean electricity.
This building is carbon neutral?
Oh, yeah, we do it with a mix of clean energy and eliminating greenhouse emissions. It's kind of like if you were to...
You're seriously explaining carbon neutrality to Mother Nature?
Our aim is to permanently remove carbon from the atmosphere.
As you can see, we've innovated and retooled almost every part of our process to reduce our impact on the planet. But there's still a lot more work to do.
I want to see you do more of this.
You will.
When?
By 2030, all Apple devices will have a net zero climate impact.
All of them?
All of them.
They better.
They will.
Wow. Pretty inspiring. But you see, he's changed his tune. He donated $1 million to Donald Trump's inauguration. Just wrote a $1 million check. He's not alone either. Jeff Bezos, the head of Google, I can't pronounce the guy's name, Sundar Pichai, whatever, it doesn't matter. They have all flown down to Mar-a-Lago to bend the knee and kiss Donald Trump's feet. Bill Gates himself has been out there begging for a meeting with Donald Trump. Now, I'm not telling you to cut people off forever after they've wronged you. I would never say such a thing. But real, genuine repentance comes with an acknowledgement of the things you've done wrong and a heart, a real heart, to not do those things again. Real repentance is not a $1 million check to your inauguration. Real repentance is not showing up to Mar-a-Lago to get down on your knees and kiss Donald Trump's behind. That's not real repentance. And these people are not street animal morons pulling down statues and gluing themselves to the street. These people are the brain, children, and the money behind almost all of the communist activity in the United States of America. And so this entire monologue was just one big warning for everybody. There is a difference between repentance and licking your finger, sticking it in the air, and seeing which way the wind blows so you don't get hurt over the next 4 years. Forget trust, but verify. I don't trust any of them at all. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have so much more to get to. The great congressman, he's so dry, it kills me. Tim Burchett joins us in just a couple moments. Before we get to Tim Burchett, let's talk about a good night's sleep, because there's just nothing better than waking up in the morning and knowing you are rested and ready to take on the day. And vice versa, I've been there too. When you wake up and one eye is still closed, and even sometimes let out that, because you know the day's gonna suck. Why don't you get some dream powder in your life? Dream powder from Beam, it's natural. Forget about all the pills and all that other natural things. Dream powder is a cup of hot chocolate with natural things in it. You'll sleep like a baby and wake up feeling like $1 million, up to 40% off at shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. Go enjoy a cup, enjoy a good night's sleep. We'll be back.
The Medal of Honor is the highest military decoration in the United States. Recipients have done the improbable, showing immense bravery and sacrifice in the name of something much bigger than themselves.
This medal is for the men who went down that day. It's for the families of those who didn't make it.
I'm J.R. Martinez. I'm a U.S. Army veteran myself, and I'm honored to tell you the stories of these heroes on the new season of Medal of Honor: Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. From Robert Blake, the first Black sailor to be awarded the medal, to Daniel Daly, one of only 19 people to have received the Medal of Honor twice. These are stories about people who have distinguished themselves by acts of valor, going above and beyond the call of duty. You'll hear about what they did, what it meant, and what their stories tell us about the nature of courage and sacrifice. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we built a lot of complex systems to moderate content. But the problem with complex systems is they make mistakes. Even if they accidentally censor just 1% of posts, that's millions of people. And we've reached a point where it's just too many mistakes and too much censorship. The recent elections also feel like a cultural tipping point towards once again prioritizing speech. So we're going to get back to our roots and focus on reducing mistakes, simplifying our policies, and restoring free expression on our platforms.
See, it's not that he was funding the opposition for all these years. It's complex. You dummies just wouldn't understand it. It's complex. You know, it's even if you censor 1%, it sounded like me trying to explain to my wife how it's complicated that I ate an entire bag of Doritos before bed last night. Joining me now, great congressman from the state of Tennessee, Congressman Tim Burchett. I'm not allowed to call him congressman, though. So, Tim, look, kind of me skeptical. I want to be a forgiving human being, but now we got Jeff Bezos wants to be friends, and Mark Zuckerberg wants to be friends. Bill Gates wants to be friends. Everyone wants to be friends now. I don't trust any of these freaking people as far as I can throw them.
I don't trust them as far as I can throw the dadgum dome off the Capitol, brother. Look, all they trust is their dollars. They're not on our team. Better be really careful with these guys. We get enamored with their, you know, the celebrity of being whatever they are. You know, God put them in a particular spot and just gave them a little bit of luck. And, you know, they're not out. They don't do anything for me. I wouldn't step out of the electric chair to shake their hands. So I'm not a fan of that crowd. You know, they're a one world government kind of group. And they are very arrogant. The Bible talks about people like that. It says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They look down upon us. We are all just cattle to them. And we better wake up. We get in bed with this bunch.
Yeah.
And then we become what we hated just a couple of years ago. Let's be honest. They're afraid of Donald Trump because he doesn't care. He does not care about those cats. And so they know that. And so they're trying to suck up and because he will eliminate what they do, I think. And they're afraid of it, and they should be.
Where are we at on speaking of eliminating things like TikTok? We're going to ban it. We're not going to ban it. I know Trump came out recently and said, no, that's another. I like TikTok. What do we believe? I generally shy away from the federal government getting involved in banning anything because they just screw the whole thing up like they do everything else. But where do you stand on all this?
Well, with TikTok, it's really just an arm of the Chinese Communist Party. There's a reason they don't even have it in their country. Their country is an educational tool. Over here, it's used to market things and to change the mindset of our kids. During COVID, prior to COVID, you heard about transgender, but it wasn't that big of a thing. Now, all of a sudden, these kids are self-diagnosing themselves with it. And how they're doing that and why they're doing that is because they get curious. They'll click on something on TikTok, and then the algorithm markets it towards them. And, you know, what better way to take over our country than just to take over the minds of our children, who will be our future leaders, and weaken them? So, you know, I see TikTok. What I'd like to see is an American-owned company. If there's something doing us harm, if they're doing something that's causing this country harm, which I believe TikTok is and was, then yeah, let's make some regulations so at least it has to be American owned, and that we could maybe get a wall between us and some of the people trying to do us harm, because they are really just forcing this propaganda on our kids. I would warn you, these parents who don't pay enough attention to their kids, tell them to put these dadgum cell phones down and all that garbage that's being marketed towards them, because it is, and it is, they're very crafty. You know, for instance, my wife and I one day were talking about these Solo cups. You know, a red Solo cup. Toby Keith, God rest his soul, had a great song about red Solo cups, although he hated that song. But we were talking about these aluminum ones they have now that are like made out of aluminum, but look like a Solo cup. And we were just talking about it in our kitchen. Within a couple of hours, both of us were having ads pop up on our phones about these aluminum Solo cups for sale. Now, imagine that, taking that one step farther, and your kids are talking to somebody about something sexual in nature or something harmful to them or what have you. And these are minor children. These are preteen children even. And then all of a sudden, they're being marketed this stuff in that line. I think we better get a grip on what we're doing and what's going on. And the people that are responsible for it are those very same people that you just showed up on the board there that are sucking up to Trump and sucking up to the Republicans right now. They hate our guts, man. They would destroy us if they could. And again, we are just cattle to them. We're just numbers on a chalkboard to them.
I'll tell you, on the devices and the social media stuff too, I have two teenage boys of my own, and we obviously strictly monitor how often they're allowed to be on that stuff. But if we ever have a lazy day, negligent day, and we just tell them, go ahead for a couple hours, it's like I have two different kids. They go from being polite, well-mannered boys to freaking zombies, more likely to backtalk and get themselves grounded. It really is poison if you let your kids just disappear into that Instagram, Facebook world of filth out there.
I agree, and I'm glad you're a father, because anybody can, you know, be a sperm donator, but dadgummit, you're a father, and I dig that. I can show you folks that are just on the opposite of that, and just how wild their kids are and how much trouble they're getting into, and we got to start taking responsibility for this stuff, man. It's legislatively, but it's just parents stepping up, and the government tries too much to take everything else. You know, these school districts not allowing parents to know what their kids are being taught or what's going on or anything like that. To me, it's just, and that's That's straight out of the Soviet handbook. I know you didn't get me on to talk about that, and sorry I went to preaching. I guess I'll do a love offering when all this is over with. I'll pass the offering plate.
Oh,
in
true Southern
Baptist, I said in true Southern Baptist tradition.
We can rant and rave against these dirty commies for the whole segment for all I care. I don't have some kind of specific agenda here. Okay, I do want to ask you about the FBI. Obviously, everyone knows at this point in time this organization is seriously, seriously flawed. But we just had a horrible terrorist attack in Bourbon Street. God rest their souls. Had some guy blow up his Cybertruck in front of Trump Tower. And the problem is, Tim, that no one knows where to get accurate information anymore because the institutions we're supposed to rely on are completely against us. People keep asking me as if I know, have some special knowledge of something. I don't know. The organizations I would go to, they've been lying to me about everything, so I don't believe anybody. And that's kind of where we're stuck now. It's a big, big problem. And it doesn't feel like the people in Washington realize that it's a big problem. That's the kind of stuff that changes, that ends societies.
Absolutely. And two, you got to realize we're gutless and we're compromised. And I feel like FBI is compromised at the top levels. I live in Knoxville, Tennessee, and those agents there, every dadgum one I've met is patriotic, loyal Americans. Many of them are veterans, and they've served their country, and they want to continue. It's just that upper level of management they have there has been compromised. Either they have to change to get to that level, or they're already changed and get to that level that way. And so you'll never get their straight answer. It's just like January 6th. Now we're coming to find out, I mean, it's common knowledge now. The FBI had people that were on the inside that were involved in that thing, that were helping instigate that. This isn't my mom and dad's FBI. This isn't the FBI. You know, I have letters in my files from J. Edgar Hoover where my granddad was writing him about the communists trying to take over things. And Mr. Hoover was kind enough to write my granddad back in Clarksville, Tennessee. You know, and I worry about our country. The infiltration is just so deep. I just feel like we're almost to the point where somebody could literally flip a switch and we would lose our country. And I think that was the plan all along. I think the anarchy that these people are sowing, like today, the Lake and Riley Act, a little girl brutally murdered and raped in Georgia, and this dirtbag who they couldn't send to hell fast enough. And, you know, I'd publicly hang that son of a bitch. Excuse my language. Just put another dollar in the swear jar. But that guy, look, man, I got IOUs at the house, my little girl. Dad, I know, honey. I guess I got IOUs in my swear jar, I guess. I do. I need to watch my language. I just get riled up about this stuff, man. I got a little girl. And these dirt, we've got 158 Democrats voted against this act just now. Now, how in the world, I don't care if you're an atheist and hate everything about this world and everything, but how in the world can you justify some dirtbag coming over our border that we allowed to? Again, the reason they don't vote against this stuff is because they have to admit they created a problem. 14 million people in the last 4 years that we know. Heck, it's probably 20 or 30 million. You know, you got over 100 on a terrorist watch list. Could you imagine if Trump had allowed illegals to come, and then we, in our own State Department, said, yeah, these people are terrorists, our own border people. Yeah, these people are on a terrorist watch list, and we let them into our country and probably gave them money and gave them an apartment, you know. And this is reality. Now, I want to tell you one other. I've got a bill. And dadgum Elon Musk tweeted about it last night. I wrote a letter to Trump because we're funding the dadgum Taliban. $40 million a week we're sending the Taliban. Hey, those dirtbags will hate us for free. We don't have to give them money, but we're giving them $40 million. It flows through some of these NGOs and other things. And, you know, it's just too much. It's too much. And thank goodness Elon got onto it last night. Guy Sean Ryan over in Nashville, Middle Tennessee, he's a former Navy SEAL. He's got this podcast, and he got me on there and talking about it. And I dig into it a little farther. I'm thinking, you know, you think about, you hear this stuff all the time. You think, oh, that can't be true. Dadgum, it is the truth. And thank goodness a reporter from OAN, what was his name, Brian what? Brian, that guy, I can't. What?
Glenn.
Yeah, Brian Glenn from OAN, he asked him today, asked the president about it. And so it's on their radar. But, you know, I passed the bill just a few weeks ago in the House. It went to the Senate, and the senators wouldn't even take it up. How in the world are we, what country am I living in, man? And this stuff is just every day. And these anarchists that we think are statesmen, you know, the ones that are saying, we need to talk about compromise. The only time they talk about a dadgum compromise is when they're in the minority, not when they're in the majority. So hopefully we'll get something passed on that. There's a lot of wind behind that bill now, which is good. I'm going to refile it, make it stronger, and hopefully we'll get it passed in this Congress.
Well, fingers crossed, but it does my heart well knowing I went to work today to fund the Taliban. Tim, thank you as always. You are welcome anytime on my show, sir. Appreciate you. That guy murders me, man. All right, focus. We have more to talk about. Before we get to that, I want to talk about Pure Talk. Greatest cell phone company ever, because I used to have AT&T, I used to have Verizon. The one I had last was T-Mobile. And have you seen what these companies do with our money? They hate our guts. They take our money and they do this corporate social responsibility DEI garbage, and they use our money to crap on the country we love. Pure Talk's never done that. When Pure Talk gives back, and they do, they give back to veterans. Pure Talk is run by a Vietnam veteran, two tours. And you don't sacrifice coverage. You pay less, same coverage. Why wouldn't you switch? There's no reason not to switch. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
The Medal of Honor is the highest military decoration in the United States. Recipients have done the improbable, showing immense bravery and sacrifice in the name of something much bigger than themselves.
This medal is for the men who went down that day. It's for the families of those who didn't make it.
I'm J.R. Martinez. I'm a U.S. Army veteran myself, and I'm honored to tell you the stories of these heroes on the new season of Medal of Honor: Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. From Robert Blake, the first Black sailor to be awarded the medal, to Daniel Daly, one of only 19 people to have received the Medal of Honor twice. These are stories about people who have distinguished themselves by acts of valor, going above and beyond the call of duty. You'll hear about what they did, what it meant, and what their stories tell us about the nature of courage and sacrifice. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I have a thing that I'm hot on now, and I can't decide if I love the idea or hate the idea, but you know how we have the election, and then there's this transition period, right? The election's always first week of November, first Tuesday of November, but the president, the new president, doesn't get sworn in until January. Donald Trump gets sworn in January 20th, and so there's this lag, and historically, that lag has been used for presidents to clean this up, clean that up, help the new guy coming in figure out which way is the bathroom, all that other stuff, get everyone laid out. But now that we have a party trying to burn down the United States of America, they use this period of time to torch everything on the way out the door. That's what Joe Biden's been doing, springing terrorists loose, letting the most vile murderers off of death row, pardons for Chinese communists, and trying to make sure Donald Trump can't open up offshore oil drilling. Maybe, just maybe, there should be no transition. Maybe it should be like a week, and then we just push him right out the door and get the new guy in there. Anyway, let's ask Mark about that. Joining me now, Mark Morano, executive editor of ClimateDepot.com. Okay, Mark, what exactly did old senile Joe do with the oil?
He is locking up offshore oil production under this lame duck restrictions, a 72-year-old law to block Donald Trump from doing this. Now, people think, oh, this is a cynical move by an old man who's not even in charge of his administration, and Trump will just be able to reverse it January 20th or 21st. And it's not that simple. This is actually a legal nightmare now, and it's going to require potentially acts of Congress, lawsuits, in order to undo this. So all Joe Biden, and we should call it the Biden administration, because they actually think that Joe Biden is doing this, is a little bit naive, but they're actually putting in serious roadblocks that are going to slow down the Donald Trump energy boom that he has planned. And it's really destructive. And it's not just this one thing that he's doing in the final days. He's going after all the gas appliances. He's going after the EV mandates. He's doubling down. They're pumping out the money from the Inflation Reduction Act. So much so, and this is actually very concerning, so much so they're targeting swing district Republican congressmen who don't want to lose that massive amount of federal funding going into their districts. And not only that, but the Biden administration has orchestrated it so the farmers lobby, which has always been skeptical of man-made climate change, has now changed their tune because they're getting billions of dollars for carbon capture projects for American farmers. So the farmers lobby is going to be in opposition to shutting down the Inflation Reduction Act. So he's legally banning offshore drilling. He's going after all the appliances through the regulatory administrative state. He's co-opting Republican vulnerable districts. He's going after American farmers. This is really creating quite a steep cliff for Donald Trump when he assumes office. And you got to give the Biden administration credit. It's a lot easier to destroy America than it is to build America up. And they are doing a great job on the way out the door. They're showing true competence at something finally.
Mark, what I don't understand, because you're right about this, why is it so difficult for Trump to go in and just undo what he's doing? You know, laws are difficult to get around. Inflation Reduction Act, it's already law. That's a disaster. But these you know, rules about offshore drilling, if the president does it with the stroke of a pen, the next one has always been able to undo it with the stroke of a pen. Why is this different?
You know, it's complicated. I'm actually on chains now of inside Washington, you know, energy experts explaining this. It's a 72-year-old law that he's exploiting some kind of aspect of this. And we're dealing particularly with this offshore wind. It's 625 million acres of ocean, East Coast and West Coast, that's going to make it a regulatory nightmare. Now, the very least, Joe Biden has just made it so that the cost of doing business, the cost of any oil exploration now off our coast has gone astronomically up. Keep in mind, you can build all the windmills you want. We're at 30 whale deaths in 30 days, which is a new record. And the whales advocates are beside themselves because this is almost directly due to offshore wind. Nothing else has changed in that equation. But it's an amazing thing. He's found a bureaucratic loophole. And one of the things Washington is good at is issuing regulations, particularly arcane regulations that require lawyers, legal expertise, years of paperwork, and courts to figure out. That's how they're able to do this. Again, they're showing great competence at destroying American energy, and you have to give them some kind of evil genius credit for that.
Mark, Trump obviously has plans. He has oil plans, natural gas plans, and all this Biden stuff notwithstanding. How quickly do you think he's going to be able to get us rolling again? I mean, it's not like you could just snap your fingers and make this stuff happen. It's complicated. It's not a light switch. So is it going to happen? How fast is it going to happen?
I'll give you an example. The Keystone Pipeline, huge issue. 8 years ago, even 4 years ago. Now Donald Trump can come in till he's blue in the face and say, we're going to restart the Keystone Pipeline. We're going to bring in all this oil, the Canadian pipeline. Guess what? It's over. I shouldn't say it's completely over, but it's just about over. All of the economic interests, all of the companies, all of the places ready to make this happen have basically broken up. And in Canada's end, there's almost no interest on the Canadian end and their companies to even pursue this at this point. They're looking at it as a regulatory yin-yang, and they're afraid if they even invest all the money necessary to get it ramped back up, who knows who's going to be president in 4 years. By the time they actually got anything going, it can be shut back down again. So that's one thing that you can't just undo. It's very hard. It's when you're trying to get an energy machine moving and you have a force out there, and it's the regulatory state, it's the unelected bureaucrats, it's the lawsuits from the environmentalists, and it's the federal mandates, and it's a lot of the blue state mandates. It's a pretty darn thing. So you ask how fast? The biggest impact Donald Trump's going to have is day one by reversing a lot of the Biden executive orders, which also goes back to the President Obama's administration. Remember, they couldn't get climate rules passed through Congress. His cap and trade climate bill failed in 2010, President Obama. So they decided to go the Chinification of America, executive orders. So Donald Trump can undo all that. And he can start allowing as much as legally possible, and each cabinet agency can, the Interior Department and the EPA can start reversing it. The biggest effect he'll have immediately is opening American energy for business. And if you understand the price, how energy markets work, a lot of it is on futures markets and how you feel and the prospects, very similar to how Wall Street works. If Wall Street feels like there's good economic news, they get it buoyed and the market goes up. So what'll happen almost immediately is potentially gas prices will drop. Natural gas prices, a lot of the market forces, there's going to be a natural easing of the prices because they figure there's a new sheriff in town who's going to open the spigot. And that will have a positive impact, lowering electrical rates, lowering all that. But in terms of actually producing this and making it happen, we're probably, you know, 2 years away. It's hard to say. Again, it's hard to say because there's so many factors that influence that, from inflation, getting that under control, economic growth, foreign wars or anything that else that could infect it. But it's going to take a while. This is not something Donald Trump can undo in 6 months or even a year or even a year and a half, I don't think. This is just the pure evil genius of the whoever Joe Biden has around him that are coming in and just clamping down American energy because they want to basically keep Trump in check so they can regroup and hopefully take over in 4 years.
What about the Paris climate stuff? Surely that's something Trump can just walk away from immediately and intends to do so, right?
Yes, but that's another great example of what he did wrong in the first time. Trump 1.0 was a totally different ballgame. He had his energy secretary, Rick Perry, don't get out of the Paris Agreement. He had Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, don't get out of the Paris Agreement. He had his EPA chief, Scott Pruitt, absolutely get out of it. Donald Trump's natural inclination. But he didn't do it the right way. All he did was signal, he basically said, we're going to withdraw from the UN Paris Agreement. It didn't go in effect until November of 2020, when Donald Trump's final months in office. So I don't know, technically, I don't even know if we ever actually got out of it. This time around, Trump 2.0, we've had legal experts look at this. We have a 10-point plan. When I say we, I mean the energy realist, climate skeptic movement here that's trying to advise President Trump. He needs to submit the UN Paris Agreement as a treaty to the United States Senate. It will be rejected. Similar efforts have been done back in a vote. It wasn't a treaty submission, but back in 1997 on the Kyoto Protocol, the UN climate treaty, it failed like 97 to nothing. If the US Senate rejects the UN Paris Climate Pact, then it ends that whole the 1992 Rio Earth Summit that George H.W. Bush, a Republican president, got us into, which led to sustainable development, the whole UN climate conference, the UN Paris Agreement, net zero, the whole shebang. He needs to end this by saying this is a treaty, have the treaty voted down. Then the next president, it gets us out immediately, by the way, it gets us out of the UN summits, gets us out of the whole net zero commitments we made under President Obama. Then the next president can't just put us right back in because we will essentially, and this is according to legal experts, and this is in somewhat dispute, but we think we got this legally, you can't just put us back into the UN process if the Paris Agreement was rejected by the Senate as a treaty. That's what he needs to go this go around, and we're hoping he does that. That is one of the most important things he can do in Trump 2.0.
Mark, as always, my friend, thank you. Enjoy that tobacco. All right, Pastor Arthur, you know, the guy who was oppressed by Trudeau, he joins us next.
The Medal of Honor is the highest military decoration in the United States. Recipients have done the improbable, showing immense bravery and sacrifice in the name of something much bigger than themselves.
This medal is for the man who went down that day. It's for the families of those who didn't make it.
I'm J.R. Martinez. I'm a U.S. Army veteran myself, and I'm honored to tell you the stories of these heroes on the new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. From Robert Blake, the first Black sailor to be awarded the medal, to Daniel Daly, one of only 19 people to have received the Medal of Honor twice. These are stories about people who have distinguished themselves by acts of valor, going above and beyond the call of duty. You'll hear about what they did, what it meant, and what their stories tell us about the nature of courage and sacrifice. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's not all about us, is it? Our good friends in the North Canada got some amazing news, and that amazing news is the dirty little tyrant Justin Trudeau has announced his resignation. And don't think it was just us who suffered. The Canadians probably suffered worse than we did, especially one Pastor Arthur Pawlowski. Maybe you remember this little tidbit.
Out! Out! Out of this property, you Nazis! Out! Out! Gestapo is not allowed here. Immediately, Gestapo is not allowed. Out! You're not welcome here. Nazis are not welcome here. Gestapo is not welcome here. Do not come back, you Nazi psychopaths. Unbelievable, sick, evil people. Intimidating people in a church during the Passover. You Gestapo, Nazi, communists, fascists. Don't you dare coming back here.
I love this guy. And he's joining us now. Figured he might as well get a chance to spike the football a bit. Well, I don't know. Let's find out what the good pastor is feeling. Joining me now, Pastor Arthur, once again. Okay, Pastor, Justin Trudeau is resigning. Why'd he do it? How are you feeling about it?
Well, here is the kicker. He is not resigning yet. He said that he is intending to resign because there was supposed to be a non-confident vote just in a few days to escape scrutiny, to escape accountability. He is saying he intends to resign. So we are not there yet. I know the mainstream media went all ballistic, the prime minister resigned, but the truth is he's still in power, and actually he has now more power to do damage than ever before, because he's doing exactly what Kamala Harris and Biden are doing right now. He is doing exactly what the Clintons and Obamas were doing just a few years ago. He is making sure that there will be no evidence of his crime. So we are not out of the woods yet. He knows that he would not be able to survive the non-confident vote. He knows that there are members of his own cabinet, member of parliament from the Liberal Party, that hate him and want him gone. He effectively destroyed not just our beloved Canada, but his own party. So we will have to wait for that victory dance a few more months. He suspended the parliament, believe it or not, to escape accountability, and that's until March the 24th. And even then, he's not saying that he's going to resign when that date will come. So we are not there yet, my friend.
Pastor, what are his crimes? What did he do to Canada, his own party? You know, we tend to focus on our own news, as all people do. You focus on your own country. So we're not that up to date on Canada. What did he do?
I mean, what he didn't do, he effectively destroyed democracy. He still is destroying democracy as we speak. He prorogued parliament. So effectively, this is against the Constitution. He is, of course, responsible for shutdowns, lockdowns. He mandated experimental drugs on his own people. He evoked emergency act. He froze bank accounts. He arrested thousands upon thousands of peaceful protesters during the truck convoy. As you remember, I have become the first one to go to prison. I was actually charged with terrorism for a sermon to a peaceful trucker. So what he didn't do, I think that's more appropriate a question. This guy, if I was the king, this guy would be charged with treason, and of course his entire party. So he has done so much. I mean, from a guy that was worth a couple million dollars a few years ago, he is worth over $130 million dollars. So when the question is how, on a prime minister's salary, I mean, come on, it's maybe my mathematics, but the numbers do not add up. So the guy is crooked you can be. I mean, the only comparison I can have is Macron in France or Biden, of course, his entire criminal family in the United States. So the list is huge.
Pastor, is this a case of Justin Trudeau getting on the outs with just his own party for various things? Or on a larger scale, I guess I'm asking a hopeful question here, is Canada finally having enough of this socialist garbage and perhaps moving to the right? Is this some kind of right-wing backlash, maybe, hopefully?
Well, here's my problem. I think Canadians are focusing on one man, but the truth is, the problem is an entire system. The system is crooked. The system has failed Canadian people. And I'm talking about all Uniparty, all of those people did this to us. You got to remember, I was arrested, and people like me, by the conservative government. I guess they are like your rhinos in your Republican parties, but we have all rhinos here. So that's the biggest, it's a bigger problem than just one man. I think the hate is being focused on one man, but the problem is a lot bigger. And I think what we are seeing happening in the United States of America is very hopeful. So I think more and more Canadians are looking to the South, and they're saying, well, if Americans could pull this off, if Americans can have a man that actually loves his own country and wants Americans to prosper, maybe perhaps we can do the same thing in our beloved Canada. So you're powerful. We are watching you very closely. Kudos to you. You're doing the right thing, and it's just the beginning. I mean, the people need to understand that the fight is not over. We are in the middle of war, and the war is not regional, like I remember growing up under the boots of the Soviets. The war is global. Those people are not hiding their colors. They're telling you, you will own nothing and you will be happy, while they're accumulating more land, they're flying private jets and driving SUVs, while they are telling you, you will be eating bags and you will be riding a bicycle. So we have to understand that this attack on our liberty is not regional anymore. It's a global thing, and we have to push it back. And that's why I wrote a book in prison. I don't know if you know that. I wrote a book, Lions Do Not Bow, exposing the key players, exposing politicians, crooked judges, crown prosecutors, and telling the public who is who in the zoo, if you will. And it's very important for the people to know what's really going on. When I was still in the business, like 150 years ago, it feels like, we had a saying that information is more powerful than money. People need to know what's really going on, who is doing this to them, and of course, why it's being done to them. So Lions Do Not Bow on Amazon.com, if people are interested in really knowing what's going on. Of course, there is the whole story of arrest, why I was arrested, imprisonment, metal cages, solitary confinement, concrete cells, and attempted assassinations and attempted briberies. The Canadian government offered me $2 million to keep my mouth shut. I was offered a guaranteed seat at the legislature and a government job if I would just stop telling Canadian people what's really going on. But hey, I'm not for sale. I have been already bought by the precious blood of Jesus, and I have no intention of becoming Judas Iscariot.
Amen. Pastor, wish you all the best. Thank you so much. That's freaking awesome. All right. Lighten the mood with Grandma Vodka. Next.
The Medal of Honor is the highest military decoration in the United States. Recipients have done the improbable, showing immense bravery and sacrifice in the name of something much bigger than themselves.
This medal is for the men who went down that day. It's for the families of those who didn't make it.
I'm J.R. Martinez. I'm a U.S. Army veteran myself, and I'm honored to tell you the stories of these heroes on the new season of Medal of Honor: Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. From Robert Blake, the first Black sailor to be awarded the medal, to Daniel Daly, one of only 19 people to have received the Medal of Honor twice. These are stories about people who have distinguished themselves by acts of valor, going above and beyond the call of duty. You'll hear about what they did, what it meant, and what their stories tell us about the nature of courage and sacrifice. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And nothing lightens my mood than seeing people who probably celebrated the new year a little bit too hard in wonderful spirits. Allow me to introduce you to Grandma Vodka.
Hi, it's Nancy. I'm on my way to Washington to proudly represent the people of San Francisco in Congress. I'm honored to do so to share our San Francisco values. Thank you for giving me that honor.
You know, I'm not here to judge anyone else and how they live their life, but I've never understood these people who get sauced on an airplane. Where's the benefit? You have to pee the whole time. It's miserable. You have to either keep going, and then you're just hammered by the time you get there. I just saw a lady take a facer getting off a plane the other day. Then you're miserable when you get where you're going. I don't know. She's apparently just built different. Anyway, I'll see you tomorrow.
The Medal of Honor is the highest military decoration in the United States. Recipients have done the improbable, the unexpected, showing immense bravery and sacrifice in the name of something much bigger than themselves.
This medal is for the man who went down that day.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, you'll hear about these heroes and what their stories tell us about the nature of bravery. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.